So today I'm going to start something, another series, and we'll talk about that. You can see it up on the screen. Wide Awake All In. Amen. East West Church, we're wide awake and we're all in. If you go and you play a sport, if you're not all in, you're going to lose. If you play half-heartedly, you're going to lose. No matter what you do in life, if you do it half-heartedly, it's not going to come out the way you want it to come out. How many people know that's the truth? If you're cooking food and you do it half-heartedly, you're going to have a half-hearted meal. If you do your homework half-hearted, no matter what you do, whatever, if it's half-heartedly, then you're never going to complete the task. So today I want you to know that Jesus is still Lord. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He is the head of the church. Let me say that again, Floyd, because you didn't hear me. He's the head of the church. See, y'all are so far away from me. He's the head of the church. See, that makes me feel better. You're talking back to me today. And He is the head of the body, which is the body of Christ. So today I challenge you. There's a challenge that came to me. I got up at 4:30 this morning. People are still coming in. I challenge you not to let your eyes deceive you. Don't look around and let your eyes deceive you, because God has a plan. And His plan far supersedes what we see. For eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. That's just fact. That's Bible. That's the Word. There's nothing that we can't do together if we set our minds to get the job done. I am not down, I am up. I'm not disappointed, I'm on an appointment. I know that God has spoken, and somebody asked me, a minister was asking me, you know, you better be careful, you better do this, you better, and I said, wait a minute, I'll be careful for nothing. I know God spoke to me, and that's what I'm going to tell you today. When God speaks, there's a reason He speaks to you, and you have to accomplish what He says. But this is a day that I've looked forward to, one with excitement. Actually, I've been excited. So are you depressed? No, I'm excited. And I'm also forward thinking. I'm not looking behind. I'm looking forward to our future together. And you know what? No, I don't know what God's going to do, but it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And so follow along with me today, because there's things you need to hear. You see, you can't move forward if you won't be real. Let me say that again. You can't move forward if you won't be real. Waking up will bring honesty. Waking up begins, will only bring it, but waking up begins with honesty. Say, I must be honest. And we'll uncover that, unpackage that in just a moment. The Bible says, and Pastor Mike wrote me yesterday, he said, man, I come across this scripture again. I wanted to, and I'd already had it written down, this verse, Isaiah 43, verse 19. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. He didn't say I'll do an old thing. He didn't say I'm going to do something that's decimated or something that's torn up or something that's fragmented. He said, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. It's coming forth now. Everybody say now. Now. See, I don't. Are they having church next door? Well, if they are, they're going to have to join in with us, because I'm getting excited. Behold, I do a new thing, and it shall spring forth now. It's happening now. Shall ye not know it? Is that possible, that God is doing something you not know it? It's because you're not a part of the process. You get to be a part of the process, you'll realize what God is doing. So He says, shall it spring forth? Shall you not know it? Listen to God here. I will even make a way in the wilderness. You say, well, we're in the wilderness. Well, get ready. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And then He goes on to say, excuse me, and rivers in the desert, where there once was dry, no plants, no growth, no life. He says, I will bring a river in the midst of your wilderness, in the midst of your desert. And there's people sitting here today that we need the living water to flow into the wilderness of our life. Amen. We need it. I need it. We all need that living water that comes through Jesus Christ to lift us back up. And hear me when I'm going to say this clearly. It doesn't matter how young you are or old you are, God has a plan for you. He said, well, no, I'm old now. I'm just getting ready for the grave. Well, no, you're getting ready to live. You're getting ready to live, and you need to say that to you every morning that you get up. I'm ready to live today. I'm ready to fulfill the plan of God. I know there's a purpose for my life, and I will not fail God by dying. Amen. So, behold, I will do a new thing. What does this verse imply? It speaks to God's power to bring transformation. Transforming power. It speaks to hope. I have hope. Does anybody else have hope today? It speaks to transformation. It speaks to hope. It speaks to renewal. He'll make all things new. Even in the most barren or challenging circumstances, God, in this verse, reminds us that God is not limited by the past. He's not limited by the past. He's not put in a box. He doesn't care what happened in your past because he knows your future. Hear me? God says, I will initiate something completely fresh, redemptive, and creative. Yes, something fresh. I don't know about anyone else in this room, but I like fresh. I don't like old bread or old cake. I don't like old nothing. I want it to be fresh. I want it to be good. I mean, have you ever had a real nice hairdo, ladies? You go to bed on it. You get up next morning and it looked pretty good before you went to bed. Now you got. I've had some beautiful hairdos in the morning. I just want y'all to know that. So it looks better when it's fresh. Fresh. Now I'm going to give you a scripture that we're going to work off of with this wide awake and all in time to get honest. This is the foundation scripture for today. Romans 13 verse 11 and 12. And I'll go back to it as we move forward. The hour has already come for you to wake up. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Then he goes on in verse 12. The night is far spent. The night is almost over. The night is far spent. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. I must put on the armor of light. Light is very important. See, we often ask God, we want a new thing. Have you ever asked God that? I want a new thing. But how can he move in that way or that direction if we're not honest about where we are right now? We have to be honest about where I am. What's going on? You have to see, mark this down, you have to see where you are before you can see where you're going. You'll never get to an end of a thing until you see the beginning of a thing. That's important. That's vital. So we must be honest with ourselves. You can lie to a lot of people, but try to lie to yourself and you already know the truth. Somebody says, you look good, but you already know. You've seen in the mirror. You had somebody say, I'd say, man, I got this ache in my, I don't feel good. And your wife or your husband say, you feel great. No, I don't. You have to be honest with yourself. And honesty is that wake-up call for the soul. It wakes your soul up. Yes. Honesty does. You see, we cannot move forward. We can't do what God is asking us to do until we come face to face with our own truth. Yes, and that's what I had to do. That's what I've had to do in the last year and a half, 2 years. I had to come face to face with honesty. I had to come face to face with truth. And once I saw it and I heard God speak, then I was ready to make that move, just like Abraham did. He stepped out when there was no hope for anything. And the promise that God gave him took 25 years for him to get to it. How many of us would have the patience to wait 25 years? Some of you don't have 25. You got 25 years. That's a long, long time. But I want to draw your attention back to Romans 13:11 in that phrase where he says, the hour has already come. It's here. It's today, right here in this Hilton Marietta Conference Center. The hour has already come. Quit waiting for tomorrow. Quit waiting for next week. It's right here and right now. You see, we live in a culture, we live in a society where we are literally addicted to distraction. We want to be distracted. We don't want to know what's going on around us. We want to be numb. We want to be have distraction and denial and self-gratification. That's what moves us. Maybe not y'all, but for most people, that's what moves them. And that's where our spirit is lacking. That's what's happened in the body of Christ. Too many people have taken for granted too long what they have. Let me say that again, because I don't know if that hits you yet. It should as you're sitting here today. For too long, people have taken for granted for what we have had. You know, kids, they grow up in a household, and you supply their food, you supply their, they go to want to go to camp, they want to get this, they want to get clothes, they want to get that, and then they turn around and talk at you bad and cuss you and do all kinds of things, but one day they move out because they think they know better. But Roy, you know like I do, once they move out, here's my deal, once you move out, you're gone. I told somebody one time that walked out on me, and I said, "But now that I want you to understand, that door's not a revolving door. Once you step out, you've stepped out. That's the way it works." But the kids will do that. They don't realize how good they had it until they don't have it anymore. And so I believe God is doing a shaking in the body of Christ right now so that we'll wake up out of slumber and realize what we have. And I don't know about y'all, but this place is beautiful. I don't have to worry about the air conditioning. I don't have to worry about the heating. Pastor Mike don't have to worry about a leak in the roof. He can even smile at me now. We got to be on Sunday mornings. He didn't want to talk to me because he didn't want to tell me all the bad things that were happening. Lightning storm come up, and sure as the world, when lightning came up, what happened? It struck one of the units. But I'm here to tell you what we have is far better than what we had. Because we have a promise, because God said, if you follow me, the promises I've made are sure. They're sure. So the hour has already come. But what's happened is, because we've gotten complacent in a lot of our things in life, in your individual life, spiritually, many people are asleep with their eyes wide open. Their eyes are wide open, but they are asleep. What does that mean? You're just going through the motions. Can anybody identify with that statement? Get up in the morning and you don't even think. You just make the bed. Go in and put the toast in the toaster. Go get you a bagel or an egg or some grits or whatever you... I got up at 4:30 this morning. I'm getting hungry. But you go through the motions and you don't... What are you doing? We go through the motions, but we're disconnected. Watch this. This is important. We go through the motions, Floyd, but we're disconnected from purpose. Because we need purpose. I get up because of purpose. I got up this morning. I couldn't hardly stay awake. I actually woke up several times. Finally, I got up at 4:30 because I was excited about what we were going to do here today and what God said would happen, and it's happened. Amen. just like I said it would, like he said it would. God is doing something special in our lives and in the life of our great church. We are not limited by walls. We can change our walls, but what we can't change is our I have to be careful here. Because you see, there's a lot of things we can change structurally, but there's things on the inner parts that we're going to have to be very careful with. Because God doesn't work in a structure. He works in the inner parts. I'll get to that in a moment. That is vital. I don't want y'all to feel out left out me walking. But understand, see, I can walk through the screen. The most important thing in life is understanding that God is absolutely moving you in a direction, but he can only move according to your inner parts, your inner man. He'll not move beyond that. He'll not go beyond that because he cannot go beyond his word, which says you have to have faith. And if we're disconnected from purpose, my faith demands purpose. You might say, well, we're doing good personally in your family. How many of y'all, you're doing fairly, you're all right in your job. And boy, I saw three hands. My God. Now, here's one. You better get your hand up. You're doing good in your relationship. Amen. Randy. So you might say, well, Bishop, we're doing, but going nowhere. Well, if you're doing and going nowhere, we need to change that today. We need a wake-up call. That's why I want you to get the covenant coin so that, and I'll explain it later, when we take that coin in our hand and every day, you say, well, I've already got one. Brother Damon showed me one that's wore out. But let me tell you, when you take that in your hand, you're going to remember this day. You're going to remember this hour. Like I said, I've made it next week for those who are not here. And understand that it's like a prayer cloth. We're in agreement together that we're not going to stop and we're going to wake up and realize what we've got. What we've got. So we're doing, but going nowhere. I love what Jesus said in Revelations 3, 1 and 2. This is powerful. This is Jesus talking to his church. John the Revelator put it down. Jesus tells the church of Sardis, you have a great reputation of being alive. Now watch what Jesus says. But you are dead. So they're going through the motions. We look happy and we're shouting, woo, hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, you can shout and still be wrong. You can shout and have no faith. You can shout and be going nowhere. You're stagnant. See, I don't want to shout and go nowhere. I want to shout and take off. He says, you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Next verse, very next verse, verse 2 in the NIV. He says, wake up. That's the next words. Wake up. King James says, be watchful. Same thing. You can't sleep and be watchful. Here's a question for you today. Where am I asleep and don't even know it? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Let me give you a little illustration of being asleep and not even knowing it. Have you ever been driving down the road, trying to loosen your load? Got seven women on your mind. One that wants to stone me, two that want to own me, one, she's just a friend of mine. Now I'm preaching. Forgive me if that offended anyone. You'll get over it. But you're driving down the road, and suddenly you realize something, Foy. This has happened to me before. It's why I can say it. suddenly you realize you don't even remember the last several miles. How did I get here? Am I right? Matter of fact, that's where wrecks happen. You're just in a stupor driving, and I've seen people do this, and somebody pulls out in front of them, and they like accelerate to hit them because they're not supposed to be there. Am I right? So you drive several miles, not even knowing how you got there. What was happening? You were functioning, but mentally checked out. You were functioning, but mentally checked out. There are people in relationships right now that are functioning, but they're mentally checked out. Am I right or wrong? There's people that's going to school that's functioning, but they're mentally checked out. Most of our kids are checked out. Does anybody have a kid like that? You got some right here. Understand, they're checked out. Mentally, they're checked out. That's not a bad thing. It's just what they do. My boys live most of their life checked out. But now, they're reaching people with the message of Jesus Christ because they woke up. They came alive. This is very important stuff. We can't be mentally checked out, Randy. We just can't. Spiritually, we can live, hear this, spiritually we can live that same way, spiritually checked out. What do you mean? On autopilot. We set it on autopilot, not realizing where we have been or where we are. We're on autopilot. Go around to 90% of the churches today across the United States of America, or even Georgia, and you'll find out that the greater part of the congregations are checked out. They don't even know what's going on. They don't even know what's happening. They're not even listening to the preacher. They're thinking about what they're going to eat. My daddy said this as he got older. He always said it, but as he got older, there was more reality. He said, I've got a hunger and a love for the Word of God. You've heard him say it. A hunger and a love for the Word of God. You know why? You find out that it's the Word of God, Miss Sister McCravey, it's the Word of God that brings life and gives it to me more abundantly. So what do? We need to understand, or we need to unravel certain things in our life. What do you mean? We need to get honest about what's broken. If you're in business and you don't know, and it's failing, and you don't know what's broken, it's going to really break. You're going to lose everything you've got because you don't see it. You don't uncover it. It's not revealed to you. So we need to get honest about what's broken. Let's go back to Romans 13:12 again. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. He says in that one phrase, put aside the deeds of darkness. What do you mean? Put aside anything. I say that to you today. We need to put aside anything that hinders your purpose in Jesus Christ, because everyone here has a purpose. I need you. You need me. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We stand together. We worship together. We love God together. And we one day will see him face to face together. So I want to put aside anything that hinders me. And the devil will sneak right up and talk into your ear. He'll tell you you're not needed. I had somebody say that to me. Well, Bishop, you don't need me. Well, what are you talking about? My finger. If my finger says you have no need of me, is it going to be just take it off my body? My hand, that hand don't work good for me, so I'll just keep this hand and get rid of this one. What if you lose your toes? No, the body has to be complete. The body must stay intact. And you wonder why there's not miracles happening. I'm going to say this so you'll hear it clearly. Miracles are not happening anywhere. There are certain isolated places that miracles are coming to pass. because people have gotten complacent and they're spiritually asleep. You hear, I've had people, miracles happen in our church, and yet people, they're nonchalant about it. Well, Sister Floyd was healed of 4-stage lymphoma, so yeah, praise God. That's powerful. One day Terry came up to me when he needed prayer, and I prayed for him, and God touched him. You remember that, Terry? Instantly. God will touch you, but we have to come alive and be honest with ourselves and put aside those things that hinder us, anything that hinders our purpose. We need to learn, mark this one, we need to learn in settings like this, we need to learn and imitate Jesus Christ. Learn and imitate Jesus Christ. But what about God? Listen, hear me. God doesn't ask for perfection because you're never going to be perfect. You're not. I mean, there's a lot of people think they're perfect, but I know, I can tell you, they ain't all that. Do you know anybody like that? But they think they're perfect. But here's what he may not ask for perfection, but let me show you what he asked for. He does ask for truth in the inward parts. What do you mean? Psalms 51:6, the psalmist writes it clearly. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. He desires truth in the inner parts. So what does that mean to me? Mark this one down. Y'all gonna do a lot of marking today. You can't heal what you won't reveal. I mean, you come up to me and ask for prayer, and I say, well, what would you like prayer for? Now, that's not necessary all the time, but I say, what do you want prayer for? That's between me and God. Really? How are you going to be healed if we don't agree on that, on that particular thing? So you cannot be healed unless you reveal. You can't heal what you won't reveal. You can't get free while you're still faking it. Remember the old phrase, fake it till you make it? No, that does not work. Doesn't work. So what we do, we hide behind spiritual talk or spiritual gestures because we want people to think we're spiritual. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath, and everything's going fine. I'm in a fine. I'm happy. I feel good. I got everything I need. And you know they're lying. I mean, the light's not in them. So we hide behind spiritual talk, spiritual gestures. But hear me, that won't fix the cycle. What do you mean? The cycle you're stuck in. Whatever you're stuck in, that won't fix it. And revival will not and does not come to a fake version of you. Amen. Revival will not come to a fake version of you. Church will not arise. Church will not see transformation. Church will not see revival in the fake version of us. It has to be real. So what does it start with? What I said in the beginning. It starts when you get brutally honest. Like, I penned this morning. Like, are you happy with you? Now, you may not be happy with me, but I'm going to ask you a point. Are you happy with you? That's important. Because if you're not happy with you, it's going to show in everything you do. Everything you reach out to try to conquer or get a victory in, it doesn't quite make it because you have no pleasure in yourself. Are you happy with you? Think about that for a moment. Give it, let it sink in. What time is it? Oh, I got plenty of time. Next, are you happy with where you are? Oh, now that's a big one. Because I thought I'd be further along than this right now. Are you happy with where you are? That's important. Next, do you think you're all that you can be? I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands for that person, because most people, they're living way beneath their privilege. They're living beneath their abilities. They don't realize, I did it for years. I was going through the motions. Not that I didn't love the Lord, I did, but I got into a rhythm, into a cycle. And this is the way it'll be, man. I'm happy and everything. And God wasn't happy with that. Jesus wants fresh relationship. He wants you to talk to him. You say, well, I don't know. He don't hear me. Believe me. I was studying, you know, I like to study those near-death experiences. Man was dead for 90 minutes. 90 minutes. Transfer truck ran over his car. He was a preacher. Another preacher pulled up behind him, and God said, go pray for him. He got out. Paramedics already said, look, there's no use. Four paramedics have already pronounced him dead. He's dead for 90 minutes. But he got into the car and started praying and started singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. And all of a sudden, he got the heaven scared out of him because he started singing it with him. But what he found out in that experience as he went to the heavenly realm and saw God was that every prayer was heard. No matter how insignificant, no matter where it came from, every prayer was heard. So you say, well, God didn't hear me. I was in the shower. Oh, he heard you. You might want to cover up next time. God heard you. When I'm laying in bed at night, one of my favorite times of praise when I'm just laying down in bed. You know why? I can roll over and talk to him and nobody bothers me. I talk to Jesus. And sometimes, if I listen, he'll talk back. So do you really think you're all that you can be? Because I believe you can be much more. You see, lasting revival begins when we're honest with God and with ourselves. Proverbs 28:13, here's an important verse. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals their sins or transgressions, he who conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. How many people want mercy? So I'm quick to say, hey, God, I'm a failure. I messed up. Bishop, do you really do that? You better believe it, because when I was young, I was dumb and stupid. I loved God, but I was still stupid. I had a hair trigger on certain things, and that just what I did. But the older you get, you realize you need to put aside those feelings. Put aside what you thought brought happiness and joy and pleasure. And you need to realize that God has a purpose and plan for your life that far supersedes what you think. Far supersedes what you think. But I want mercy, so I'm quick to say, God, look, I messed up. God, I even this week, I said, Lord, please forgive me because I've messed up so many times. Now, because of the blood of Jesus, he forgives us, but that does not exclude us from at least telling him how thankful we are that he forgave us. We need to tell him, because I'm thankful. So you might try to conceal a thing, but have you ever tried to conceal something and it didn't work? Let me give you this way. We have several people in here that understand engineering, understands building. You can have a crack in a foundation. And you can go and put putty in it. You can paint over it. You can caulk it. You can do all those things and decorate it and make it look like it's all right and ignore it because it looks good now. But you realize the whole house is in danger because you've covered it up. I don't want to cover it up. I want to uncover it. I don't want it to be in darkness. I want light. Again, don't conceal what must be revealed. Shakespeare wrote it in Hamlet. He said, "This above all, to thine own self be true." If you're not true with yourself, you're not going to be true with anybody. You have to be true to yourself. Next time you look in the mirror, be truthful. Just realize that you are who you are no matter what, and God loves you. But be truthful to yourself. So in order for me or for you, for anyone to go forward, we must embrace the light of a new day. I'll do new things. I have to embrace it though. I don't just say the verse. I don't just say I want new things. I don't say that God's going to spring forth. I embrace it. I get it close to my chest. I want to love on that. I want to love on the fact that he said I can do all things. So when I embrace the light of a new day, I go to 13:12 again, Romans. I put on the armor of light. When I embrace it, I put on the armor of light. And let me tell you something. If you want cockroaches to run, I'm glad they got the air conditioners on in here today. Because anybody else, you go to sleep, you go, "Oh, Bishop says, but we're not." You can't go to sleep in here, you'll freeze to death. But let me just tell you, you can go and turn the light on and have a bunch of cockroaches. Watch what happens. They be gone. Matter of fact, people that rob, thieves, they don't like to do it in the light. They like to do it in the darkness. So how am I going to clear my mind? How am I going to clear my heart? I'm going to turn the light on. I'm going to embrace the light. Because God is about to do a new thing in my life. But he can't do a new thing in my life until I let the old thing go. I'm not going to hold on to anything old that's not beneficial. Put on the whole armor of light. So here's where I'm at. Here's where you are. Honesty. Say, "Oh, I just don't like honesty." Listen, honesty is not about shame. It's the doorway to grace. By grace you're saved. And that of faith. Through faith. Do you understand that? It's the doorway to grace. You see, God will absolutely deal with what we reveal. When we confess and come into the light, God activates. He takes us in his arms and he loves us. He does not put on us guilt or shame, but he puts his glory around us. And when he puts his glory around us, he doesn't do that to expose us or to embarrass us. He exposes to heal. Everybody say, "I will be healed." So I embrace it. Because God is God. And if I read the Bible correctly and I believe that I am, God has a way of doing exactly what he said he would do. He said, "In mercy, I will show mercy." I need his mercy. But he really now is trumpeting to the church and to the world, wake up. There's a great possibility that we will see Jesus face to face. And I want to be prepared for that moment. Not only me, I want to make sure that when I look at him, he doesn't show me on the motion screen of my life how I miss Jeff Cole, how I miss Dr. Collier. Because that's going to happen. Everyone that's come back said that their life went before them on a great screen. One pastor said he died of a massive heart attack, went to heaven, and he thought he was righteous and all that, and God showed him where he messed up. Because all he would do was respect those that had a great title and those that had powerful funds. And he said, what you missed was those people that were homeless. He said, because I love the rich and the poor. Amen. And Jesus said, I died for the rich and the poor. So you see what I'm talking about? I want to be prepared that when that screen pops up and your face is there, and he'll say, you did reach him. He did listen to you. She did listen. They're going forward because of what you did. See, that's vital to me. But it doesn't happen if we stay spiritually asleep. In 1 John 1:7, talking about the light, talking about how it heals. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. When we walk in the light, we start having fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Yes, sir. The light. And Ephesians 5:12 says through 14, for it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret or in darkness. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Amen. When the light comes in, man, everything is visible. For it is, verse 14, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. Well, obviously they're not dead. What he's talking about, Jason, is spiritual deadness. Spiritually dead. Rise from the dead, and Christ then, watch, and Christ will shine on you. So help me. When will Christ shine on you? When you wake up. So I want to ask this. I'm almost through. And I do appreciate your attentiveness. And we're going to do the covenant coins. And we're going to receive the tithe and offering. If this keeps up like this, we're going to have to get two rooms. But I ain't doing nothing until God says do it. I can tell you that. And now don't think you're not valuable. Look around and say, well, there's enough people here. No. You're valuable to the kingdom of God and valuable to this local assembly. I mean that with all my heart. You said, no, you just want a lot of people to preach to. I can go preach. I don't have to do it here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our destiny together. That's what's vital to me. It's what's important. So what does it look like to walk in the light as he is in the light? To walk with authenticity, to walk with wholeness, to walk with completeness, and walk completely surrendered. What does that look like? Well, whenever you've gone into a dark room and it's pitch black and somebody flips the light on, it hurts there for a moment, doesn't it? But after your eyes adjust, you see things clearly. That's what we all need. We need a light adjustment. We've been walking in darkness. It's time for the light to come on. It may hurt for a moment, but our eyes will adjust, and we're going to see clearly what we must accomplish together. We will see that clearly. Clearly. God's light might feel like exposing, because here comes his light into my life. God's light might feel like exposing, but it's not. It's healing. His light is actually healing you. You know what I need healing for? Yeah, I know your arm hurts and your leg hurts. No, no, no. I need healing between this muscle between my ears. Because I have a tendency to be hard-headed. Has anybody else been that way? Has anybody else thought they knew it all and didn't know nothing at all? I've had people that said, I thought I knew it. Then I got with somebody that knew it. I thought, I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. But God is such a wonderful, merciful, kind God. I can't say that enough. If I had all day long, it would be Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my advocate. Jesus is my counselor. Jesus is my friend. If you leave here today and get in your car and start talking to Jesus, you're going to find out. You're going to start developing relationship with him. So I say it's time. I'm starting to wind down now. Another hour, I'll be through. It's time to get real with God. Because if you're not real with God, you'll never be real with yourself. It's time to get real with God, asking these questions. Are you spiritually awake or just performing? Hallelujah. I got it all together, brother. You're performing. I'm sick of performing. I'm sick of performance in the church. If you're not worshiping, get off my stage. I don't want that anymore. That's why when I preach to some preachers, they're not going to like me. Because I'm going to tear down some walls that they've built up thinking that's going to make them all much bigger, greater. And what they don't realize, Jesus doesn't like it. He doesn't want performance in that sense, performing. He wants demonstration of his power, demonstration of his worship, demonstration of his praise, demonstration of something that we have forgotten, loving one another. Because we just don't love one another. So I do love, I love Brother Randy, but if he was a little more cool, I'd love him better. No, it's just true. I love everybody, but I sure don't like anybody that's got any brown skin. I just don't like them. Well, then you're missing the whole point. The Bible never once said, do you know the Bible never mentions race? It's not there. Because we're all one. So he never said anything about that, yet that's what we, in our circles, that's what we lean on. We've created denominations to segregate us. We have taken pieces of the pie and refused the whole pie. And that's fact. You say denomination, we've denomined the body. We've torn it apart. And then we say, Jesus is Lord, he is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, but he ain't risen for you because you're not acting like it. Because you don't love people. You say, but I can't love them. Yes, you can. You may not like a person, but you have to love them. You have to love them. Now, I love everybody in this room. Well, I can honestly say before the living God, I love everybody. There's nobody I hate. When I was younger, I couldn't say that. But I'm telling you, there's nobody that I hate. I love everybody except the devil. You know why? Because he hates us. He doesn't want any of us to get the promises of God. You know why? Because he can't walk in them. Am I right? Fact. So are you spiritually awake or just performing? You need to ask yourself that. Go out and tell everybody your pastor was drinking. And I saw him drinking. Yep, and you watch me, I'll do it again. Do you praise him from your spirit or just your lips? Because I found myself praying and not realizing what I was praying. I love you, Lord. You know, Lord, I'm with you. And I'm just saying it. But I had to stop myself and realize I mean it from my innermost parts. I mean it. I mean, you get so comfortable with your spouse or your partner or your friend or your whatever. I love you. Love you. Yeah, I love you too. You don't even mean it. I mean, not in the sense of you saying it, but it's not coming from your innermost being, the innermost part of you. And let me tell you, there's a difference. Somebody say, I love you. And somebody say, man, I really love you. Right or wrong? I mean, I dig you. No, forget that. I love you. So we either praise him with our spirit or we praise him with our lips. We need to put them together. When you praise him, is it something you have been taught? Something you've been taught to do, or is it your desire? Do you desire to do it, or are you just been taught to do it? Well, I've been taught that when I come into church, I raise my hand, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Is that what you've been taught to do? Or is it something you desire to do? Because if you don't desire it, don't do it. Don't say a nice thing to me if you don't mean it. I'd rather you keep your words to yourself because it doesn't help me. I mean, my doctor says I'm doing great and he's lying to me. What benefit is that? And I know I'm great, but you understand, we got to be true. I need truth from you. You need truth from me, and we need to walk in it. But hear me when I tell you, don't discard somebody because you see a weakness in them. Now, I don't think that sunk in. Don't discard or discredit somebody because you see a weakness in them. Because guess what? You've got one too. So here's a question. As I'm starting to wind her way down now. So what are you hiding that needs healing? Because we can get it done. I'll join in prayer with you. You pray with me. And we'll get that done. Jason, we'll get it done. Ronnie, we'll get it done. Jeff, Lynn, we'll get it done. Debbie, we'll get it done. I don't think you're catching that. We can only get done what we put forth. I love Jesus. He said, hitherto. I love the way Jesus. Hitherto. He said, you've not gotten anything you've asked for, because hitherto you've asked nothing. And when you did ask, you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. In other words, it wasn't to do anything but for you. I love Jesus. He just says stuff that just knocks you right in the face. You think you're all that, and Jesus says, excuse me? He just turns the kingdom of God. He who is least is greatest. And who he is greatest is least. That's what he says. And you think, what are you saying, God? He puts everybody on a plane. And it's up to us how close we get to him. So what is it we're hiding that needs healing? Where have you gone through the motions? Deb. Randy. Jimmy. Where have you gone through the motions so much that you've grown numb and need God to stir your soul again? I say, God, stir me. My paint needs to be stirred up. You ever seen paint that's been sitting for a while? You got to stir it up and shake it up. You know what? My wife made me get some Chobani. Is that what you call it? Chobani? Chobani, is that what you say it? I didn't even know what it was, but she bought it because she knows it's good for me because I don't eat enough protein in her estimation. So she brought me one from the refrigerator, and I found out she didn't shake it like it needed to be shook. Because when you start with that and that big old clump comes in your mouth. So what is the thing? That really is an illustration spiritually. Until we get shaken and really shaken, we're not going to be fluid enough to do what God's asked us to do. So don't be a Chobani. But here it is right here. Here's the verse that illuminates all this about what you've gone through, what you're going through, what you're hiding, and you need a prayer. Watch this. Psalms 139:23. Key. Search me, O God. Yes. That's a powerful statement. God, I don't want to be a liar. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Yes. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. This is the NIV version, but it's the same thing. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, any evil way in me, or wicked way is what King James says. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in thy way everlasting. So I believe some of us need to pray that prayer today and say, Lord, search me, O God. We used to sing the song, search me, O God, and know my heart today. I mean, that was a real song that needs to be sung every day in our heart. So, what do I want you to do starting right now? I want you to take a few minutes each day, starting now, to be honest and have an honest talk with God. Sit in your chair, do whatever you want to do, but talk to Him and be honest with Him. If you don't feel all that, tell Him. If you feel like you're missing it, tell Him. You don't got it all, you don't have it all together? Tell Him. Because He already knows it. But He wants to hear you say it. He wants you to come into agreement with Him because He already knows it. That makes sense, anybody? Come into agreement. So what do you do? I want you to spend that time being honest with God and ask, God, where have I been asleep? I ain't talking about your bed. Where have I been asleep? And God, what do I need to change? Because you can always change. And then, what am I avoiding? Because that's we're masters at that, aren't we? We're masters of it at avoiding things. So what must we do? Let and allow the Holy Spirit to gently expose and heal. Amen.